This week's parasha is Parashas Vayakel Pkudei. So it says in the parasha, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Moshe gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel. Vayom aleihem, and he told them, Eile advarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. These are the things which God commanded you to do. Sheshit yamim ta'aseh melacha. 6 days you do work. Ubiyom ha'shvi yeh lachem ubi for you, kodesh, holy, Shabbat, Shabbaton, Sabbath of Sabbaths, Lashem, to God, kol ha'ose bo melacha, yumat. Anyone who does melacha on that day, dies. Then it says, one of the melachas now it says, lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvoteichem, don't make fire, right, don't ignite fire, b'chol moshvoteichem, all your dwelling places, b'yom ha'shabbat. So, obviously, there's a big problem here. The melachas, where do we learn? We learn from this week's parasha. The melachas, then it says, zeh adavah asher, v'yom ha'shem Moshe, kol adat b'nei Yisrael, lemor, right? Bring truma, build a mishkan. There's a smicha Shabbos to the mishkan. To say, the shmira Shabbos, is doche the mishkan, and all the malachas we learn is the same word, but all the malachas of the mishkan are the malachas that's asa for Shabbos. So this week's parsha is teaching us a few things. It's teaching us one of the malachas, which is to make a fire, and says there's a machlokas here. Did the Torah tell us not to make a fire because it's different from all the other malachas? All the other malachas are chorus and skila, right? And this malacha is a love. It's less of a malacha. Because it's a destruction. A malacha is a creativity. Or, is the Torah coming to tell us that just as this malacha has a separate, an individual onish, an individual punishment, all the malachas, all 39, if you do all 39, you have 39 punishments. That means if you do accidentally, you have to bring 39 korbanas, 39 chatas. To the base of Mikdash. Lechalek, that's what it means, lechalek. And then the parasha, when it connects you to the building of the Mishkan, is telling you, on Shabbos, don't build a Mishkan. What is the Mishkan and what is Shabbos? The Mishkan is the place in which Shochen dwells God, the Shechina dwells there. That's why it's called Mishkan. Mokum HaShechina, the place of the Shechina. Shabbos is also the place of the Shechina. Shabbos, Vayechulu, no more work. We rest. We refrain from our 6 days of Malacha. And we rest with Hashem. Shabbos is Mokom HaShechina B'zman, in time. Mishkan is Mokom HaShechina in place. The place of the Mishkan is the place of the Shechina in place. They are related. The Mokom HaMishkan represents the divine presence, the connection to the divine, the connection to the Torah, which is called Olam Haba. Shabbos, the Torah was given on Shabbos. Shavuos was Shabbos. It's Me'ein Olam Haba, represents Olam Haba, that Kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Understand? So the fact that they're connected is not a surprise. And the fact that you can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a Mishkan in time. It is the place of divine presence. You don't need a Makom. In a certain way, Shabbos is bigger than the Mishkan. You don't need any vessels to contain the Shabbos. The divine presence, your neshama yetera, rests in you on Shabbos. You don't need kelim. You don't need mishkan. All you need is you. There's a condition. What does fire represent? Fire represents destruction. Fire represents destruction. Shabbos represents building man in his proper tzura. The Zohar says here that lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvoteichem v'yom Shabbat means there's no esh of Gehinnom on Shabbos. They get taken out. Rest day. No Eishiv Gehinnom on Shabbos. There's no concept of destruction. Everything comes to its shleimus. Everything comes to its completion. Shabbos is the opposite of destruction. Shabbos is Yom Matan Torah. There was no sumas. Everyone was healed at Matan Torah because Shabbos represents the time of completion. Olam Haba. Me'ein Olam Haba. So there's no concept of Eish. There's no concept of destruction. That's why this is the love that's mentioned. Shabbos is the opposite of destruction. It's the tachlis of the world. It's the building of the world. The building of a person. That's why Shabbos is Mekor HaBracha. We say Lecha Adodi. Right? It's Mekor HaBracha. Shabbos is not the end of the week. It's also the beginning of the week. We end the week from all the work that we do. Right? There's the Masechet Shabbos. In the seventh parak, there's a Mishnah. It's called Esa Sidurei Depat. 10 malachas you do to prepare bread. Those 10 malachas are connected what? The spheres. Adam HaRishon, when he was Chote, what did he do? When he sinned, was punished. How was he punished? Bezeh tapecha tochal lechem. With the sweat of your brows to eat bread. 6 days we work preparing that bread, preparing ourselves spiritually for Shabbos. Shabbos requires hachana, vayachinu, preparation. To prepare that bread. What's that bread? That bread represents the Eitz Hadas that we were supposed to eat, that Adam HaRishon was supposed to eat on Shabbos, and that we eat on Shabbos. That's our Lechem Mishnah, that's the man. Shabbos got an extra portion of man, got an Erev Shabbos, because Shabbos doesn't require hachana, doesn't require preparation. Says the Rif, Shabbos is a day of Simcha Mimela. That's why we can't have Purim on Shabbos, because Purim is Simcha, you have to make it. Simcha. Shabbos is Simcha Mimela. You don't to make Shabbos Simcha. Why is it Simcha Mimela? Because that's the sea of connection. The climax of connection is Shabbos. The Tachlis, we take our bread and we prepare it. We sieve it. We remove all the chaff. We remove all the bad stuff. We prepare ourselves for Shabbos as well. We're also the Lechem Mishnah. And then we're ready. If we prepare ourselves from Shabbos, right? Misha mechin atzmo be'erev Shabbos, someone who prepares himself for Erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos, will eat on Shabbos. If you prepare yourself for Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, you'll feel the neshama yetera. If you don't, you won't feel it. Shabbos requires hachana, requires preparation. So why is the malach of lo tevaru eish? Destruction is the opposite of Shabbos. All the malachas are creative. It's a chiddush to say that it's a malacha to destroy. It's a chiddush. The Gemara has to look for ways in which burning something can be creative. It's a chiddush that burning something is a malacha. So making light, making fire for warmth, that can be a malacha. But it's a chiddush. Because fire isn't something which is intrinsically creative. Fire is something which is destructive. It's a chiddush. We need a chiddush. We need to be told that fire is a malacha. Because Shabbos is the opposite of destruction. Shabbos is creation. Shabbos is connection. Fire represents din. That's why it represents the Eish of Gehinnom. That's why there's no din on Shabbos. There's no Eish of Gehinnom on Shabbos. Shabbos is kulo tov. It's kulo shchina. That's what Shechina means. Kulo tov, HaKadosh Baruch. That's Olam Haba. Sheneni miziv HaShechina. You benefit from the radiance of the Divine Presence. Those are the Ketarim. Our Neshama Yetereh are the Ketarim, the crowns that we receive in Har Sinai. If someone prepares himself for Shabbos, he reaches the highest place man can reach. Mincha on Shabbos, Musaf on Shabbos, he reaches the Yud Gimel Midas. where you reach on Ne'ilah. Every week on Shabbos, you can reach on Shabbos the place you reach on Yom Kippur on Ne'ilah. Because it's Matan Torah. Shabbos is Matan Torah. That's why Shabbos is special for learning Torah. That's also why Shabbos is Tshuva. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torotecha. Shabbos is Torah, Shabbos is Tshuva. It's not Stam. Before Yom Kippur, we call it Shabbos Tshuva. Shabbos contains within it all the festivals. The Shabbos HaGadol, before Pesach. Every Chag that we have, Shabbos represents the ruchnius of that chag, the spirituality of that chag. So it's mentioned here that tshuva is same, more or less the same letters as Shabbos, apart from a vav hei. So tshuva is Shabbos vav hei. Vav hei, there's two sets of letters in the Shema Vav. There's the yud kei and the vav kei. Like we know from Amalek, you know, the yud kei is there and the vav hei we have to be mashlim. Or the gro we know. But it says ish v'isha, shchina b'neihem, Yud Kei B'nehem, Yud Kei. If you take the Yud Kei, you have Eish. Interesting, you have Eish when you take the Yud Kei away. Because Shabbos represents the Yud Kei. Shabbos represents connecting to our higher persona. That's why if you take the Yud Kei out of Ish V'Isha, you get Eish. Lo Tevaru Eish B'chol Moshote B'chol Yom Shabbat. Eish of Machlokos. Shabbos, it's also to get angry on Shabbos. It's also to be Machlokos on Shabbos. Dasa. That's learned from this pasuk. The Vavke is the weekday. Shabbos connects the Yudke to the Vavke. That's the Ish V'Isha. That's why Adam Arishon and Chava, according to the Arizal, the eating from the Eitz Hadas was not actually the eating. They were supposed to connect on Shabbos. That was the eating from the Eitz Hadas. Shabbos is when all the worlds connect so perfectly that it brings the higher influences from above into the world. That's the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos. That's why Shabbos represents the Shechina. Represents the Shechina in time. Connects the Yud Kei to the Vav Kei. That's why Shabbos Tshuva is Shabbos Vav Kei. To return the Vav Kei to the Yud Kei. To connect the Yud Kei of Shabbos to the Vav Kei of the 6 days of the week. Now we have all the order of building the Mishkan again. Seems a little bit redundant. But here it's said in an order, right, that somewhat makes sense. There's little additions, right? There's this, we're told that the women first came and brought their offerings, right? There for the Nadav of Mishkan. And one of them was this Kumaz, which is a very interesting thing. This Kumaz, Rashi says, what's Kumaz? Rashi says, Kli Zahav hu natun keneged oto makom be'isha. It's a Kli Zahav that's put against this place by a woman. Now you notice we don't have a word for this place. In Lashon HaKodesh there's no word for this place. It's called Ptichat HaKeva. It's called oto makom. It's called that place. There's no word in Lashon HaKodesh for that place. Rabotenu, and that's why according to the Rambam it's called Lashon HaKodesh. So it says, Rabotenu say, Kumaz is a notrikon. What's a notrikon? Kan mokom zima. Here is a place of zima. That's a very strange thing. You have a tachshit that you put in this place that separates a woman from, you know, from illicit relationships. And the thing that separates, it says, kan mokom zima. This is a place of zima. This isn't a place of zima. This is a place of kedusha. This is a place of connection. This is a place of Shabbos, Adam Arishon and Chava, Ish V'Isha. That's Kedushin. We call it Kedushin. Chazal call this Kan Mokom Zima. Doesn't make sense. Illicit relationship. It's very strange. And that's the thing you're bringing to the Mishkan as an Adava. And that's how we... These are Tachshitim of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael needed something there to protect them. To Chas V'Shalom, they go astray. And that's what Klal Yisrael call this place. We don't have a name for that place in Lashon HaKodesh. We don't have a name for it. And here, the jewelry that protects that place is called Kan Mokom Zima. This is a place of illicit relationships. It doesn't make sense. We also see at the end of the Parashas Vayakel, right? It speaks about what? It speaks about the women, right? Vayas et hakio. We make the kio, the wash basin, from copper. Vet kano nechoshet b'marot hatzavot, from the mirrors that Klal Yisrael, the women in Mitzrayim, used to show in front of their husbands, and they would look into the mirrors and they see their wives, and their wives would dress up for them, and they would have children with them. And that's what produced Shishim Ribo in Mitzrayim, 600,000 in Mitzrayim. Here we see that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't like the idea. This is used for Yetzirah. This is used for the Yetzirah. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take it. The Kumas, on the other hand, which is called Kan Mokum Zima, he had no problem. Doesn't make sense. What's the difference? The name of the Kumas represent a protection. So the name of what it was called was a name what it's protecting you from. It wasn't the name of that place. That place doesn't have. When we say this place needs protection, it means it is protected. Here, this is protected from this concept, with this Kumas. In other words, the Kumas was there to protect Klal Yisrael from illicit relationships. It was connected to the Yetzirah. It was there to fight the Yetzirah. So therefore, it was given the name of what it's fighting against. Not the name of what this place represents. So since it represented fighting this concept, it has Kedusha. Whereas the Mar'ot of the women were used to bring on the Yetzirah, not to protect from the Yetzirah. That was Moshe's Kasha. How can I use something which is used to bring on the Yetzirah? It was done for, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but it was using the Yetzirah to build Klal Yisrael. That was the Chiddush. That was a bigger Chiddush. Here, it's called the name of something which is wrong, because it's protecting Klal Yisrael from that which is wrong. It's keeping us away from the wrong idea, from the wrong ideas of the ways of the world. So it has Kedusha, it's our protection. It's given the name, Keneged, what it's protecting us from. That's a Shmira. You know, when you go into war, right, you have to kill. You need a rifle, you need a gun, you need a tank, you need a plane, you have to kill. Those people who go into war and kill are murderers. They're killers. And yet, when they go into war and they kill, we train them how to kill the best way. How to shoot a gun, how to shoot the most people, how to aim missiles. We build a whole ma'arechet of how to kill. We don't call them murderers. We call them heroes. They save our lives. They protect us. But they're murderers. No, they're not. If the killing off the Ra in the world, the protecting us from the Ra, you have to learn the ways of the Ra to protect you from the Ra. You have to learn, if you are fighting an enemy who's bad, you have to know about them in order to fight them. You have to know the names, what their plans are, what their purposes are. Kan Mokum Zima. It's the name of the enemy. It's not Ra, because it's using to fight the enemy. This is not a killer. This is not saying that this is what this place is for. This is saying this is what the enemy is. And this is what we're fighting. So these are heroes. This is something to protect us from the Ra. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a problem here. Whereas the Marot Zevot, like I told you, that was to use the Yetzirah to bring the husbands to look at their wives, to see their beauty and want to connect with them. That's using the Yetzirah for Kedusha. That wasn't clear to Moshe Rabbeinu, that using the Yetzara can be brought into the Mishkan, which is Kulo Lashem. Hashem had to tell him that. The Kumas, in theory, was gold, right? Could have been used for the Aaron. They just melted it down. In theory, part of that Kumas was for the Aaron HaKodesh. The Nechoshet was used for the Kiyor outside. Was it even the Kodesh HaKodesh? Fighting the Ra is Kedusha. You have to know what your Yetzirah is. That's what Chazal's teaching us. You can't fight in war and not know who you're fighting. You can't fight your Yetzirah if you don't know who he is, what he's fighting you with, where he's taking you. You have to know. He has to have a name. Kan Mokom Zima. That's what it's telling you. That's its Kedusha. Because of the name, it's Kedusha. וכל אנשים אשר נעשו ליבם עוצנה בחוכמה דם בחוכמה תבו את האיזים. So Rashi says, we need תבו את האיזים. Means the malocha was, right, שמעל גבי איזים תובין אותם. On the איזים, they made these threads for the מכסה, from the covering of the Mishkan. This was for the covering of the Mishkan, right? So why was it called Izim, right? And why was it on the Izim? So you said that one of the Mefarshim explains that the Izim represents Azut. It's a similar idea. And I want you to notice that Dafka, it's the women we learned this from. The women were the one who went and built the Mishkan. They were the first person to bring the gold and whatever to the Mishkan. Allah Gvarim, on the men. Right? Second of all, we see this concept of Kumas, of fighting the Ra, it came from the Tachshit of a woman. Now we're seeing this Azut, the Izim, it's As Panim Legihinam, this Azut of the Izim was the Malocha of women, was the Chochmah of women. What was the Chochmah of Bezalel? We're going to see. All the Tavnit, all the Tzura of the Mishkan, all the Tzura of the Kelim. The Chochmah of the woman was this Azut. The Azut of the Izim. Says Chazal that the Malchus, which represents the female, which is the Mishkan, that's why this is Avodah of a woman. The Mishkan is the Shechinah, is the Divine Presence, is the female, is the Malchus. The Malchus is the female. Right, it's the express of God's presence in the world. That's a female concept. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu connects to the world, this is a physical world. This is the world of physicality. Something spiritual to connect to physicality, that's not easy. Our neshama connects to our guf, that's not easy. Our guf wants schnitzel and other things. And the Shaman wants Torah, Tosfos, Chumash. Doesn't go together. The Gemara says, before you daven that you put Torah into your goof, daven on Achila that won't go into your goof, won't go into your body. Torah doesn't go with Achila. Eating? Miut Sheina, Miut Achila, Miut Tanugim. Torah doesn't go with physicality. The connection of the spiritual to the physical is very difficult. Says the Ramor, when we say, our bracha, asher yatza, the Ramor in Shulchan Aruch says, umafli la'asot, we say in that bracha. It's a wonder how Kodesh Baruch Hu connects the physical to the spiritual. That's a miracle, that's ununderstandable. The two separate entities. How do you connect? What's the concept of connection? It requires azut. That's the women. When the women, we normally say that a woman, kol kvoda bat melech pnima, the covet of a woman, the covet of the female concept, is pnima, is internal, it's not external. That's what it is. All of a sudden, the building of the Mishkan, they don't ask their husbands anything, they go run out. That's not the derech of a woman. To go first, to give their all their garment, all their stuff they give out for the Mishkan. They don't give their husbands, their husbands takes to Moshe, they're going by themselves. That's azut. That's not proper. That's not the normal way of a woman.
What's azut?
There's a certain brazenness in that. The Gemara says the women b'teva are not azim in front of their husbands. If it comes for taina in a get, right? They don't answer. They're not brazen. All of a sudden we see the women are being brazen. They're going out before the men. They're not giving to husbands to give. They're going out. They're tovea. They're tovea. The izim. They're getting their strength, so to speak, from this concept called azut. Why here in the Mishkan has to be azut? Azut means oz also, means strength. But there has to be, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you do mitzvahs, when you go out into the world and you express a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, the only way a Kodesh Baruch Hu can be expressed in the world is with this concept of azut, with this concept of oz. Azut means brazenness, it also means strength. Strength of what you believe in. You believe this is true, you do it in front of people who are laughing at you, says Shulchan Aruch. That was learned from David HaMelech. David HaMelech. He danced ba'oz with strength. People, the melech, a melech dances like jumps up and down. That's not a covet of a melech. But kol oz, David HaMelech danced with all his strength, with azut, with brazenness. That's not the way of a melech. That's not what we would seem the way of the melech. No. David HaMelech would behave like a Jewish king, even in front of other people, and they would laugh at him. And he was convicted. He would do that. He was brazen. That's the midah of Malchus. That's why the chochmah of the women, this concept of oz, of strength, this concept of azut, is the concept of Malchus. You need this concept in order for the spiritual connects with the physical. That's why in this parasha, it says the women went out first. And what Kalim just said, the skumas. Can you imagine a woman giving her private tachshit over? That's not what she should be doing. She should be giving her husband. Her husband should wrap it up and give it to... Here, they're giving it. That doesn't seem to be the proper way. I'm sure they gave it with sneers. I'm sure it was covered up when they gave it. But the same, but it's an idea of azut. To bring the neshama into the guf, to bring the shechina into the world, requires this tremendous strength and a brazenness. Because that's not the teva of the world. That's not the normal way of the world. We have to go against normality. That requires strength, and that requires brazenness of conviction. That's what the women are teaching us. When you connect with the physical world, you need protection. When the spiritual connects to the physical, it needs protection, it needs extra protection. Because then the spiritual can go in the way of the physical. So there has to be a protection. That protection is Oz. That's a protection. Hashem Oz Lamo Yitain. Right? Oz is the Torah. Azut. The Torah needs to be protected with oz, with strength, with azut, with brazenness. I don't know if brazenness is the proper way. That's what's represented in an ez. An ez has this concept of brazenness. And that's why the Mishkan, the canopies that protected, were made from izim. And that's why the tvir, litvoa something, tavu, litvoa something on the ez, like you're saying, was drawing the strength, so to speak, of the ez. But litva means to take fibers that are separate and intertwine them together. A fiber in of itself is very, very weak. But when it's connected with other small fibers into one thread, it's a strong thread. And then it's weaved together and made a tapestry. You with me?
Yes.
That's the moral izim. Yeah? That were on the Mishkan to protect it.
Yeah.
That protection, each person as an individual thread, he's not protected. Klal Yisrael are only protected when those threads of individuality become a thick thread. That's why we say, Hachut HaMeshulash Lo Yinatek. The Avot become, they're not individual fathers, they're threaded together. All the Shvatim are threaded together. That's why you see, it's actually, all the threads had like five concepts to them. Five like different threads, more or less. Because it represented what's called the five aspects of the Torah, the five Partsufim, the five eminences of the Kodesh Baruch in the world. Five, in a certain sense, is really ten. It represents completion as well. You understand? So, that completion of all of Klal Yisrael connecting together to make a strong thread, the collectiveness of Klal Yisrael is what gives Klal Yisrael its strength. Klal Yisrael are weak when they're separate. Like Haman Arasha said, Am Mefuza Mefurad Beina Amim. They're separate people. Only then Umas Olam can, Chas V'Sholom, and so name Shu Yisrael, can harm Klal Yisrael, unfortunately. But when Klal Yisrael and we will get it are together, no one can touch us. We're one with us, each other, we're one with the Torah, we're one with our Creator. No one can touch us. Then we have Azut. Then we have the strength to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah into the world with Oz, with strength, without fear of that Torah being dissipated and being expressed in the wrong ways. That's the protection of Oz. That's the protection of Azut of brazenness. Without Achdus, without unity, there's no Torah. That's why Torah, the prerequisite of Torah is Vayichen Sham Tachataha, that's be a oneness. The Chet HaEgel was what? Chet HaEgel was because of Klal Yisrael being what?
Separate.
We don't have a leader. We don't have something to ma'ached otanu, to bring us together. So they looked for something else that really separated them, brought them to physicality. Avodah Zorah is it's called Elohim. It's called many gods. It's separation. You have your God, he has his God. It's a separation. That's what Avodah Zorah is. Each one has his own individual God. That's what by Esau it says, Nefashot, because they had their own individuals of Avodah Zorah. By Yaakov it says, Nefesh, because they all served one God. That's why the Chet HaEgel was Avodah Zorah, represented the separation of Klal Yisrael. That's why every sin has a remnant of Avodah Zorah of the Egel. Because every sin is when man is not connected properly to his Creator. He's separate. He's disconnected. All sin means that. A disconnect. An improper expression. That's what disconnection is. Parshas Pekudei says, Ve'ele Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the accounts of the Mishkan. Says Mishkan HaEdus. It's a Mishkan of Edus, of testimony. What does it mean Mishkan HaEdus? What's Edus in the Mishkan? So says Rashi, Edus Shiitkaper Lehem Chet HaEgel. That there was removed the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Why it says Mishkan twice, says Rashi? Keneged Shtei Bat HaMikdash, that were destroyed. Against the two temples that were destroyed. What's the Lashon Mishkan? Mashkon. Mashkon means what?
Collateral.
Collateral. That means I lend you money, you don't pay up. You don't pay up your loans. You take your collateral. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that his wrath, his cast was taken on Eitzim and on Avonim, and not on Klal Yisrael. Chas v'Shalom. Why in the building of the Mishkan, where it is a remez, that the destruction of the two temples, and that it's Edus that we mitkape on the Chet HaEgel. Why is that here, the same place? You told us good news. Kapara on the Chet HaEgel. We were clean from the sin of the Chet HaEgel. And you're telling us bad news. At the same time, the same psukim. The two Batei Mikdash are going to be destroyed. Why are you doing that? Why is that way? The answer is very simple. It's not a complete kapara. it's not a complete kapara. I have a mashkon on you. There's a kapara. There's an atonement. There's an appeasing. But you still owe me money. There's still what to pay up. I have a mishkan. I have a mashkon on you. There's a loan and there's a collateral. You don't keep and pay that loan, which is to bring my divine presence into the world, because that's what the mishkan represents. Then I take it away. I'll take my collateral away. You're not living up to bringing the Shekhinah, Mokum Shekhinah, into the world. That's what Mishkan is. That's what the collateral is. That's what our agreement was. Yeah, I gave you another chance. I gave you a Mishkan. I gave you Mokum Shekhinah. Now it's your duty to make that Mokum Shekhinah in the whole world. If not, that Mishkan comes back. That Mashkan, that collateral comes back to me. That collateral comes back to me. Because you're not doing your job. And then I pay. You pay for that chet ha'regel. Because you didn't completely finish. You partially paid me back. There's still payment left. And that payment will only be finished when we bring Mashiach and we rebuild the Mishkan. And we remove, before then, we remove all the Ra, we remove Amalek from the world. Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemati Yehuda, right? Asa, he did, et kol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. He did all which Hashem said to Moshe. Who told Betzalel what to do? Moshe told him. What do you mean Hashem told to Moshe? So Rashi says, this is a Gemara in Brachos. Rashi brings it here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Kelim and then build Mishkan, like we saw in Parshas Truma, the Begadim, etc. And Bezalel says, one second, Derech Eretz is the normal way, right? For a person first to make the vessels and then build the house. Isn't the proper way that first you make the house and then you make the vessels? And then the Gemara says, Bezalel, you were in the shade of God when this was told to me. That's exactly what God told me. God told me the order, like you're saying, the order, the form, he told me the Kelim and then the Mishkan. But in order to build, first you make the Mishkan, first you make the walls, first you make the house, and then you put the vessels in them. So you were there at the time. That's why he was called Bezalel. Bezalel, you were in the shade of God when this was told to me. As if you heard it. So what was the machlokas? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, right, teach us in the Torah, first the Kelim and then the Mishkan? And what was the big chokhmah of Bezalel? I mean, everyone knows when you make a house, first you make the house, then you put the furniture in. What was the big chokhmah of Bezalel? Derech Eretz, Minhag Olam, anyone, such a shevach he was given. So you have to understand what is happening here. The Kelim, we understand, represented, like we learned, the Aaron, Torah, Menorah, Torah, in Derech Eretz, Malchus, the Shulchan, the Ketores, the place of separation from the Ra, right? The Mizbeach, the Kaparas of the Avonis of Klal Yisrael, right? The Kiyo, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, Lerochta, the cleaning of them, right? They had a certain Tzurah. The Mishkan, the walls, the house, right? It's just that protecting. It has a Tzurah, has a form, has a very important form. Kekala, Chazal says, like a Kala. The Kodesh Baruch Hu connecting to Klal Yisrael, like a male to a female connection. It's important. But the ideas, the concept, the whole concept of the Mishkan, the whole tachlis of the Mishkan was the Kelim. That was the whole tzura. When you come to someone's house and you see the wall, a bare wall, does it tell you about the person? No. If you see a picture on the wall, it tells you about the person. If you see his furniture, if it's modern, if it's antique, tells you a little bit about the person. if it's nice furniture, it's old furniture. Tells you about his financial situation. You can tell a lot about a person from his furniture. You can't tell so much about a person from the bare walls. The kelim represents the surah of the world, the form of the world, the tachlis of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us what's the tachlis of the world. So first you have to learn kelim. First you have to be told what the vessels are there for. And the vessels have an order. First the Aaron, first Torah. That's the place of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tzura. Of course that's what Moshe Rabbeinu has to teach us. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us Torah. He has to teach us the tzura of the world, the form of the world, the intrinsic tachlis, purpose of the world. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's Bezalel coming to tell us? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming to teach us this is how you build. He was coming to tell us the form of the world. So what was the Chiddush of Bezalel? The Chiddush of Bezalel wasn't how you build it. First you build the house and you put vessels in it. That we don't need Bezalel to tell us that. Bezalel was teaching us how these concepts get expressed in the world. First you build a home. First you build a protection. First you protect yourself. If you don't protect yourself, you can't guard anything inside. First you have to separate yourself from the Ra. You have to put a protection on you. You have to build walls. You have to build the shchuna. When they went into Mitzrayim, what did they do? They sent Yehuda, Goshna, to build in Goshen. What was in Goshen? Talmud Torah. That was a tzura. That was a form. But it was in a place. They were separated. Yosef separated them from the rest of Egypt. You needed first protection. Says the Rambam, if you live amongst people who have wrong days, who have improper ways of thinking, separate from them. Go to the Midbar. Go to the... So that's what Klal Yisrael do. Klal Yisrael build walls. We separate ourselves. Doesn't mean we don't get involved. Yosef was very involved. Klal Yisrael were very involved in Mitzrayim. But they were separate. Their home was separate. The children learned in Chadarim. The children learned in good schools. They didn't give them other education. They gave them Klal Yisrael's education. The first has to be built the walls to separate Klal Yisrael from the Ra, to protect us. And then we can give form. Then we can build our form. We can give those walls, after we build the protection, its form, its purpose. Bezalel wasn't telling us how you build a home. Bezalel was telling us how you build the Jewish people. How you build the Shechina. First it's Sumira. First you have to protect yourself. And then there's the Aseh Tov. And then you pull the concepts, the Aaron, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Ketores, the Mizbeach, the Kiyo. Then you put in the Kelim. Then you build the Klal Yisrael. Because now that it's protected, now you can give it its own form. That form that connects you with your Creator. That's why the Gemara says he doesn't call Rabbi Yossi didn't call his wife. His wife, she used to call him Bias, his house. His house is protection. The Gemara says, what is a woman? What do you lack before you get married? You lack choma. A woman is your walls. She's your home. She's your protection from the Ra outside, from the bad outside. If you're not married, you don't have that protection. And then the woman represents Torah and Simcha. Then you can build Torah, then you can build Simcha. You need a wall to protect you. That's why under the chuppah, the wife goes round the chatan 7 times. That's the choma she's building to protect him. Thank you. protect him from the outside world so that they can build a bias ne'emana, a strong house of Torah and of Yira. But you need a protection first. Before there's the kiddushin, before there's a connection, before there's the husband and wife, first she goes round, first she builds a choma, first she builds a protection around him. And then you have the kiddusha. Then you have the kiddushin. The divine presence rests in that place. You understand? That was the Chiddush of Betzalel. Betzalel. Betzalel wasn't a stun name. Tzel, the shade, is the protection from the sun. Betzalel. Betzalel represents that concept of protection. How to build Klal Yisrael. How to build them in which we won't lose what we represent. We first have to separate. We first have to make our own homes, our own Mishkan, protected from the outside world. And then we can put into, imbue into those world, into those homes, into this world, the Torah. And then we'll take the Torah outside. That's the purpose of the husband. The husband will take that Torah that he has at home outside and give it over and enlighten other homes and protect other places and bring the Torah out. But it has to come from a protected place. It has to come from a secure place.